No one can speak on behalf of all of us who are here now and have been here through this weekend that we appreciate immensely the work and the labor of the love that has been shown to us from our brethren and sisters here at the McKeesport Assembly. I've been encouraged with this conference. I have enjoyed it very, very much. I think one of the things that encouraged me as much as any is to hear so many of our young brethren taking part in prayer. It's been a joy to see that. I don't know if I have been at a conference where I've heard more young brethren praying than in this one. So we appreciate these things, and now we look to the Lord that He will bless. And this is the last ministry meeting of this conference, and we know it will be followed with a gospel meeting, and we've been hearing the importance of that. I'd like to read with you the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. As I considered my thoughts for the subject of shepherding, I thought to myself, well, it's going to primarily do with our elderly brethren, or brethren who are considered as elders in the assembly. But I appreciate what our two brethren have said already. I think they've paved the way for what I have to say, in a sense that shepherding is something that involves all of us, especially when we consider the gospel preaching. Because as we go out and bring in unsaved people into to hear the gospel, and as they come among us, you know, as a young person, maybe in a have a Sunday school class, or someone who are just interested, maybe you go out on the bus and pick up people, and you bring them in, and you're talking with them, and you're caring for them. That's shepherd work. You're doing something that is having an impact upon that young person, and it's causing an interest on that heart of that young person, and that young person who maybe receives very little or no love or attention at home, you are showing that person love and attention and care, and that is a work of a shepherd. So it's not just for elders that we're speaking to as we approach a subject like this. It is for all of us. So we trust that we'll see an interest in it from that respect. Now in Isaiah chapter 40, I would like to read verse number 11. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, I'd like you to turn over. We're going to go back to that passage, but let's go over to John's Gospel in chapter 10, please. We're learning about shepherding. The best example we have of a true shepherd, of course, is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. One passage more, 1 Peter, please, and chapter 5. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. Verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. May I just say this at this point? As a shepherd, as a leader among God's people, the only way we can properly lead is by keeping close to the cross. The more we see Him and understand Him and appreciate what He has done, the more our hearts will be softened and be used by God to be true shepherds. So He was a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. feed the flock of God, or shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, and take the oversight thereof, not of constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Yesterday I was speaking to a brother, and he was commenting to the fact that I was going to take up the subject of shepherds. And he made this comment. He said, recently he had a servant of the Lord in his home. And he asked the servant of the Lord, what do you think is the most pressing need among the assemblies today? And the response was, good shepherds. In that conversation, the same brother told me that Hector Rouse removed somewhat two generations from us today. When he was asked that question, what is the most pressing need among us as assemblies today? His response was, good shepherds. I think it's a need, brethren and sisters, that will never go away. And I think it's a need that is extremely, extremely important for the growth and the well-being of every assembly. As we turn to the subject of shepherds, we have our Lord Jesus Christ in all his perfection as the true shepherd. But I would like to, we've been hearing about alliterations, and my wife would agree 100% with that. As fact as Gene was talking, or Brother Gene was talking, he should give me an elbow. But I do have three little thoughts I want to give to you. First of all, as we think of a shepherd, I want you to think, if you will, the shepherd and his character. That's what we have in Isaiah chapter 40. The character of a shepherd, and reminds us of the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ. But I would like you also to think from John chapter 10, the shepherd and his commission, the one who laid down his life for us. And that would refer to the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ again. But then I would like to think from 1 Peter chapter 5, we have the shepherd and his compensation. And there we have this chief shepherd, the one who is going to compensate each and every one as they have shepherded his flock. The shepherd and his character. It's interesting when you turn to the book of Ezekiel. We didn't read it, but Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 23 says this. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my shepherd David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. What words that were given to us, and these pertain to our Lord Jesus Christ, as he was the and is the one shepherd. The rest of us, we are like under shepherds, and we are serving him, and we are seeking to do the work that he has given us to do as we seek to tend to his flock. But notice, if you will, a few points from Isaiah 40. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Think of the supply that the shepherd must give. What is it? What is in desperate need among us? It's food. To be able to feed the people of God in a way that is going to meet their needs. Food that is adequate. Food that is abundant. Food that is able to come to the aid of the people in their times of need. You know, when the shepherd is leading his flock and he's working with them, he has this in mind. There's coming a time when this grass that they're feeding on now, these green pastures, they won't be here. And we've got to move on to another place. And so he's constantly looking for a new place. And possibly there'll be this season when the snow will come. And he'll have to supply their need during the winter months. And then other seasons will come and go. He's constantly looking for variety. He's constantly looking for that which will meet the need of his flock. And so it is, we as shepherds, we can't just be strung on the same string all the time. There has to be a variety. And that's the reason why God has, in his infinite wisdom, said that there must be a plurality of leadership in the assembly. How wonderful it is when shepherds work together in unity. And you get one brother and he'll rise and he'll be able to give a word of ministry and it'll be along a certain line. And then another elder will come along and he will maybe meet another need. And on it goes as the needs of the people are met through that food of the word of God that is given. You know, the Lord, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And what did he, how did he respond? He leads me in the green pastures. You know, that's what we need to feed upon from the Word of God. But I'd like you to think for a moment also of the strength of the shepherd. It says of him, he shall gather the lambs with his arms. The gathering of the sheep as they are sometimes go astray. You know, you go back to Ezekiel chapter 34 again. You find there that there was a difficulty going on between with the shepherds. These men who God had appointed as kings over the nation of Israel and Judah. And they were supposed to feed the people of God. And they were supposed to look after the good of the people of God. But they weren't doing it. They were only interested in themselves. There were selfish endeavors and selfish ambitions that they had. And they could care less. The state and the condition of the flock of the people of God. Consequently, Ezekiel chapter 34, God describes the condition of the flock. He says this, that there's disease among them. They're weak. And there's no one there to strengthen them. He says that there's sickness among them. But there's no one to heal them. He speaks of those who were driven away. And there's no one to bring them back. He speaks of those who are lost. And there's no one to seek after them. But if you go down further in Ezekiel chapter 34, you look under from verse 11 on down, and you'll see many times God says, I will. He says, I will feed them. I will seek after them. I will meet their needs. And over again, as a true shepherd, he meets the needs of the flock. The shepherds, the under-shepherds, were not doing their work. But he says, I'll do it. You know, in the assemblies, there is the tremendous need of gathering those who... Notice what it said in Ezekiel 34. I didn't read it, but... chapter 34. You take time to read it in your own. It peels away every ounce of pride when you read Ezekiel 34. When I read it and reread it, it causes me to get on my knees to examine my own heart as I think of those that God has called me to shepherd. Those that I am responsible before God for. And I ask myself, how many are diseased among us? How many are sick? And I haven't been able to supply the medicine of God's Word to heal them. I tell you what drives me crazy, if I might say it that way. How many have been driven away? You know, we've been hearing about the gospel and the need of the long arm of the assemblies to reach out to meet those that are in their sins and bring them in and see them saved. Have you ever worked hard, labored long, prayed much to see souls saved? In God's grace, He's come in and saved them. They've been baptized. They've been received into the assembly. And a few years later, they're driven away. Nothing will tear the heart of a shepherd more than that. But brethren and sisters, by carelessness on our part, by saying things that are inappropriate in inappropriate times. You can drive away the sheep. And maybe they'll never come back again. Here's one who gathers them in his arms. Not only that, he's a man, he's a shepherd that is sympathetic. He carries them in his bosom. John knew it was to be in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine as a shepherd would pick up that little sheep, that lamb, and he'd carry him in his bosom? Think of the individuality that there is between the sheep and the shepherd. There's a warmth there. There's a sense of security on the part of the sheep as he's held in the bosom of the shepherd. And there's a relationship that is developed now. It's not something that can be developed at a distance. It's only developed when he's in his arms. And he's being carried along because he's too weak to go on his own. Or maybe because he went astray and he's coming back. And the shepherd brings him along. He carries him in his arms. You know when he speaks to the children of Israel there in Deuteronomy chapter 1? He reminds them of their carelessness in that wilderness. He reminds them how they came to the very border ready to cross over and then they turned back. And then for 38 years they wandered aimlessly in the desert. But you know what he says? He says, I bear you, or I carried you, as a father would carry his son in his bosom. Oh, the tender care of the true shepherd, willing to carry the sheep, even the sheep that have gone astray, sheep that are difficult to work with, the relationship that was built there. You remember in Naomi's case? There she was, destitute of her husband and of her two sons in a foreign land. Then she came back, and she came back so empty. But then she was given a grandson through Ruth, Obed. The women of the town said to Naomi, as she held him in her bosom, she said, he will be the restorer of your life, and he'll be the nurturer in your old age. Haven't we ever felt that? Feeling that warmth of being carried in the bosom of our blessed Lord. And knowing what it is to be restored. To be nourished in our lives. I would like to think too of the gentleness of the Savior. It says there that he shall gently lead them, those that are with young. Remember the case when Jacob came and he's returning back to Bethel there and he comes and he has that confrontation with Esau. And Esau says, well, why don't you come with us? Esau was a man that was charging out and to do all kinds of things. And Jacob, as he looked upon his flock, and he says, if man should overdrive them, one day all the flock will die. Overdrive them? You know what was overdrive them? Esau is a picture of the flesh. Always anxious to go here. Always unsettled. Just rushing here and rushing there. Overdriving the power of the flesh. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's that gentle shepherd. Let's turn quickly and I'm take a look at time here. In John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we have again our Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much as the great shepherd that we have presented to us in Isaiah chapter 40. Well, here we have the good shepherd. The good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. Would that not speak to us of his devotion? What is it, some five times over that we have in these few verses that he was to lay down his life, that he was to give his life for the sheep. The devotedness that is necessary on the part of the shepherd, willing to sacrifice everything that he has in love to those sheep. You think of it as it is exhibited and displayed in the heart of the Apostle Paul. In the book of Philippians in chapter 1, he's looking forward to or considering the fact that he's writing this letter to two sisters and they're in disagreement with each other. And this conflict that has arisen between them is not only affecting the two sisters, and no doubt the two families that they represent, but it's affecting the whole assembly in Philippi. And Paul is a shepherd. Paul, who loves that assembly so dearly, and he loves those two sisters dearly, he's not preferring one above another. What does he write there in chapter 1? He says, I have you in my heart. That's the place of the sheep. A devoted shepherd will have his sheep in the heart, in his heart. And he says, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Here's the concept of the shepherd. And is he devoted to his sheep? Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. You know, the believers at Corinth were not what you would say sheep that would be conformists. They were non-conformists on the whole. They were sheep that were always wanting to go their own way and do their own thing, and they got in trouble all the time. But you know what Paul said about him? He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Can I say this kindly? You won't be shepherding very long. And you won't be pouring your life into another person before you realize you love this person. You're willing to lay your life down for this person. And you're going to find out that this person really is not interested that much in you. The more I love you, Paul said, the less I'm loved in return. That's a real thing. We have to brace ourselves for it. But that's part of shepherding. See, in 1 Thessalonians, in his devotion to the sheep, he says, we are being affectionately desirous of you. He says, not only and our souls, but he says, you are dear to us. Here he is as a nurse, and he's caring for them in an affectionate way, as a shepherd must do. He says, you're dear to us. That's enough for that. I'd like to just make some practical things that we have from the person of our Lord Jesus Christ in this, and quickly sum it up, and then we'll finish. Notice not only is there devotion that is required, but there's the displacement of time. If you go to Mark's Gospel, there's two times over. In chapter 3, I believe it is, in chapter 6, it says this, that the multitudes pressed upon him so greatly that there wasn't even time to eat. I can't tell you how many times we've sat down to eat and the phone would ring, and I have to excuse myself as the food gets cold. But that's part of shepherding. But you know what I followed through the book of Mark, what I was impressed was this. He at times didn't have the time to eat, but he made sure others were eating. Remember that girl, when she was brought back to life, he says, give her something to eat. Remember in chapter 6 of the multitude, he says, give them something to eat. He was constantly concerned that they had something to eat. Even though he is the shepherd, they didn't always have time to eat. Think of the discomforts that it can arise as you shepherd God's people. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Sometimes the discomforts can be physical discomforts. When you spend long hours with a person and you'd rather be home in bed. But sometimes the discomforts can be spiritual discomforts, as you consider that you must talk to this person about an issue that is very, very difficult to approach. And the person maybe has a personality that you know could go any direction. Shepherding has its discomforts. Shepherding needs its discernments. He said over and over again, I know my sheep. How well do we know our sheep? You know, as you work with sheep and you get to know your sheep, There's times when your sheep are going to confide in you. And they're going to share things with you that they don't want anyone else to know. And how sad if a shepherd should take something that was confided to him or her and disclose it to someone else. There's no quicker way to ruin the confidence of God's people. Think of the shepherd and his dangers. Four times over we have in these passages that we read in John chapter 10, four different dangers. You got the thief, you have the robber, you have the stranger, and you have the wolves. The dangers that are lurking around every corner of the shepherd's life and around the flock and how he has to care for those sheep in every way. He says in Acts chapter 20 that from among you there'll be grievous wolves that will rise up and not sparing the flock. And then he says, not only from among you, but from outside. There'll be those who will enter in from outside, I should say, and then those from among you that can come in as grievous wolves and destroy the flock. But let me finish with this in John 10, the delight of the shepherd. Verse 17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. This is what brought delight to the Father's heart. That here was the true shepherd that was willing to lay down his life, his all, for the sheep. And in so doing, the Father found that which was pleasing to him. You know that word lay down? I discovered it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Hath made you overseers. That little expression, hath made you overseers, is the same word. Lay down his life for the sheep. Sacrificer is. But let me think just for 1 minute, because that's all I have left. The compensation of the shepherd. That crown of glory that will fade not away, unlike the Olympic crowns that were given to the victors, here's a crown that will never fade away. But it made me think of Jacob's prophecy as he blessed his children. We already have heard of that this afternoon. But as he came to Issachar, he put his hands, as it were, over Issachar. He says, Issachar, you are a strong man, couching between two burdens. That word burdens in the book of Judges is two sheepfolds. And he says, you use your strength. And you're between the two sheepfolds, you're working them, and you're helping them, and you're pasturing them, and you're blessing them. Why did he do it? Because he looked out and he could see that there was a land that was going to be a land of rest. And there was going to be it was a land that was going to be a land of blessing. And he was looking out beyond the immediate here and now. He was looking out to the future of that crown of glory that awaits the true shepherd as he uses his strength and his energies for the betterment and the well-being of God's people and God's flock. Now, this is the end of the ministry meeting. We have been asked, as we have already been mentioned, I want everybody to pull to the center and pull forward as much as you possibly can as our brother